Hello, I'm Kurt Becker. Thanks for joining me as I take another stroll through racing history, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. Saratoga Racecourse is often described as the graveyard of favorites. So imagine pulling an upset of such historic proportions that the folks at the spa name a race after you. It was August 16, 1930 in the Travers Stakes when Jim Dandy pulled a 100-1 shocker. And later today, Saratoga will present the 58th running of the Jim Dandy Stakes, a Grade 2 event for three-year-olds at a mile and an eighth on the dirt. Jim Dandy was bred in Kentucky by William S. Dudley, who was a leader in the coal and tobacco industries of the Bluegrass State. And on Kentucky Derby weekend of 1929, on the backstretch at Churchill Downs, the fledgling juvenile Jim Dandy caught the eye of boxing promoter turned racehorse trainer John McKee. So excited was McKee that he found the nearest telephone and contacted one of his newest clients, a boyish-looking millionaire in Los Angeles by the name of Chaffee Earl, who raced under the name Wilshire Stable. Born into a wealthy family in Oakland, Earl was a media mogul who owned the Los Angeles Herald Express and the LA-based radio station KNX at the time. Jim Dandy would become only the second horse owned by Earl, who paid $25,000 for the colt, a sum equal to $400,000 today. And roughly 4 months after the transaction, Jim Dandy went to Saratoga, where he pulled a 30-1 upset in winning the 1929 Grand Union Hotel Stakes for two-year-olds on a muddy track. Headlines in newspapers around the country proclaimed Jim Dandy's achievement, yet by 1930, it seemed as though hardly anyone remembered. That's because more prominent horses from more prominent stables were taking control of the headlines. Most notably, Gallant Fox, owned by William Woodward, was dominating the Spring Classics, taking the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. The day after the Belmont Stakes, on June 8, 1930, newspapers declared that Gallant Fox had already wrapped up the title of champion three-year-old for the year. The only occasional threat to Gallant Fox seemed to come from Which One, Harry Payne Whitney's champion juvenile of 1929. Which One, in fact, had gone to the post as the favorite in the Belmont Stakes before finishing second by four lengths to Gallant Fox in the rain. While all of this was happening, hardly anyone was thinking about Jim Dandy, and even fewer seemed to remember that victory in the mud at Saratoga the prior year. On Travers Day in 1930, only four horses went to the post. Gallant Fox was favored at 1-2. Which One, who had tremendous speed but was fragile, was listed at 9-5. For the other two, well, there were Sun Falcon at 40-1 and Jim Dandy 100-1. They were merely seen as filler material so that the Travers wouldn't be a match race. Owner Chaffee Earl didn't even make the trip from Los Angeles to watch his horse run, saying he didn't feel well and instead would stay at home. Gallant Fox had spent the summer in Chicago winning race after race following his Triple Crown success. Which One had won the Whitney at Saratoga, and so a crowd which included Governor Franklin Delano Roosevelt was excited to see a rematch of the 1-2 finishers from the Belmont Stakes, both of whom had enjoyed excellent summer campaigns. Plus, jockey Earl Sandy on Gallant Fox was said to have outsmarted Sonny Workman on Which One in the Belmont. So the theory went, a smarter ride by Workman, and perhaps Which One could turn the tables on Gallant Fox. Instead, on a rain-soaked track at Saratoga, Which One set the pace and faded. Gallant Fox then took the lead, but held it only briefly. And then Jim Dandy took over and drew clear to win the Travers Stakes in a gallop. He was bred to love a wet track. He had won a stakes at Saratoga in the mud a year earlier. And yet, because he had not won a race all year in 1930, and because the public believed he was facing the two best horses in the nation, Jim Dandy had gone to the post for the Travers at odds of 100-1, and he won the race. Jim Dandy was gelded a few months after that Travers upset, and then retired a few years later from racing with a record of only 7 wins in 141 career starts. An article in the Los Angeles Examiner in the 1940s noted that trainer McKee had died and owner Chaffee Earl had left the horse business. But Jim Dandy, well, he was enjoying life at a riding academy in Glendale, California. The article said he had ridden to the hounds, jumps flawlessly, and appears often at horse shows. And back east at Saratoga to this day, they still remember Jim Dandy, as well they should. His name stands as a reminder that, in horse racing, truly anything is possible. Please join me again next week as I take another stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. For HRRN, I'm Kurt Becker.